Okay, if you're worried about getting cold, I promise not to speak past 10 past 11. So this could be the shortest or the longest message you've heard for a while. And we can pray that next week we have heating. And that you might even be able to watch the time as well. So, when I prayed and looked over these verses, I felt challenged to keep it simple. Because when you go through Ephesians, there is a lot of depth to everything we look at. And sometimes when we look at the depth, we miss the simple of where we're at people. We need both. So I hope that if you think I'm too simple for you, you can find the depth while I'm speaking. But I hope to speak to our simple needs as we look through these verses. So let's have, title today from Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. We encourage you always to be reading it before a message. And if you do, I think you'll find that you're surprised by how God puts everything together that goes on in the calendar and in the songs and the different parts. Not just what the worship leader plans to relate to the message, but the themes that they don't know are coming often come through. So do try and read the verses through and see what you think God will say to you through those verses. Title for today, Estranged or Treasured? It's a seminar on marriage counselling. Are you ready for that? Not quite a seminar on marriage counselling, which some people might need. But that's a good example, isn't it? In our close relationships, we can feel treasured or we can feel estranged. In the place that we most want to feel treasured, we can feel estranged. Not just marriage relationships, but any of our friendships and our relationships. So let's read the passage together. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 to 22. And I will read that to you. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Let's just pray again. Father, I pray for each person here that as they hear your words and as they by your Spirit hear them spoken to you today, they could leave knowing that they are treasured and not estranged. And I pray for our own relationships, be there our relationships at home, our marriages, our families, or our relationships with others, or even those here in this room, that again, that we would be in relationships where we feel treasured and not estranged. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Don't think we've got anything set up in the hallway for the kids, and this isn't exactly a kids' talk, but they might be able to help you with the answer to the question. So does anybody know where this picture comes from, who these characters are? I thought Meadow would be the answer, but even Meadow's...
Do you want to say One Piece?
There you go. We have somebody who knew the answer. So it's from an animation, or perhaps I should say an anime, because it's a Japanese connection, and it's a cartoon series called One Piece. And the basis of One Piece is that the greatest pirate who ever lived has buried the greatest treasure that there ever was somewhere. And if we could find that treasure, then we would have everything we need for life and for happiness. So who's going to seek to find that treasure? while you have a whole group of people who come together who are otherwise isolated and perhaps even misfits and definitely individuals, but they've come together as a group with a dream. It's not a deep message, but just to give you the upbeatness of that vision, I want to play you one of the songs from the series. Okay, and just in case you didn't get my explanation, we're going to give you the basics of what the series is as well.
Wealth, fame, power. Gold Roger, the King of the Pirates, attained this and everything else the world had to offer. And his dying words drove countless souls to the seas.
You want my treasure? You can have it. I left everything I gathered together in one place. Now you just have to find it.
These words lured men to the Grand Line in pursuit of dreams greater than they'd ever dared to imagine. This is the time known as the Great Pirate Era.
Come aboard and bring along all your hopes and dreams. Together we will find everything that we're looking for. One Piece.
Compass left behind. It'll only slow us down. Your heart will be your guide. Raise the sails and take the helm. That legendary place that the end of the map reveals is only legendary till someone proves it real. Through it all, through all the troubled times, through the heartache and through the pain, know that
come aboard and bring along all your hopes and dreams. Together we will find everything that we're looking for.
There's always room for you if you want to be my friend. We are on the cruise. We are.
Okay, it's a whole new world that some of you don't know. And I wondered whether it was just a distraction, but then I thought, no, I want to speak to where people are at. And actually, for many people, life is at a lonely place. And life is at a place where they don't feel they have a dream, and they don't feel they have other people who are ready to travel with them. And the world sees that. Because that's why they can take cartoons like this and say, you can have a dream. There is a treasure to be found. And we, a group of individuals from odd places, can come together and be a crew together to find that. They are excited by that vision and by that belief. So then we come to church and we sit in a very boring way and forget about all of those exciting things. No, because we are the people who really know how to get from being strangers and aliens and lonely to the place where we know an eternal value treasure that restores our relationships with other people and, most importantly, restores our relationship with God. So One Piece is estranged individuals coming together to seek the greatest treasure ever and finding companionship as they do that. But we as a church do that even better. So from that excitement, let me take you to a question. Does the Bible contradict itself? Because verse 19 that we've looked at in the passage that we read said, so you are no longer strangers and aliens. But if you dig up 1 Peter 2, verse 11, it says, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. And I put that in there because some people will tell you, obviously, the Bible contradicts itself. And you say, where? And they don't know. Well, here's an example. One moment you're told you are aliens and strangers, and the next moment you're told you're not. And what's even more interesting is that these two Bible passages actually have very similar themes. If you read through 1 Peter 1 to 11, you will find it talks about the living stone. The stone that others have rejected, and yet the stone, the living stone on which the church is built. They're the same themes that come through in these two passages. So if you really want God to speak to you through these verses, go back home afterwards and read not just the three verses we've read from Ephesians, but 1 Peter chapters 1 and 2, but particularly chapter 2, I think it is, 1 to 11. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 11. We're going to look a little bit at how the two things can coexist. But One Piece is actually a Japanese anime. And you'll know that I spent some time living out there, so I thought I'd look around the theme of some of the words that come to my mind from this. So the first word I want to give you is this, gaijin. If you write it in Japanese, oh, there's no Japanese fonts on that computer, which is not surprising perhaps, because it doesn't come out just as a question mark. But if you write it in Japanese, the first part is a kanji, a Chinese character that means outsider, outside. And the second part is person. So a gaijin is an outside person. And I was there and I was constantly called gaijin, outside person, which is actually slang and rude. Because if you're being polite, I should be being called gaikokujin, which means outside country person. But the reality is, if you're an outside country person, you are often made to feel like an outsider. And we relate to that word. And actually, we treat people in a very similar way here in the UK. When they're an outside country person, sometimes we very easily treat them as an outsider. If you are made to feel an outsider from a group, it's not very nice. You feel pushed out. You feel like you're left out in the cold, that you're outside. What would be the opposite of that? Well, they have a phrase in Japanese which is called nakama. And nakama, the first part, naka, I always thought of it as meaning inside, in. And then I looked up the kanji and it doesn't, it means relationship. And the second part refers to distance. So just looking at the kanji, the Chinese characters, doesn't quite give us the meaning. But basically it means close relationship. So the people that you feel closest to, not your family, because then you call them family, but your closest relationships, which can actually be closer than your family sometimes, they are your nakama, the relationships that you treasure the most. And if we go back to One Piece, maybe that's a bit of Japanese that Joanna's even picked up, I don't know, but nakama is used for all the people in the crew when they refer to each other, because their relationships have become so close. If somebody is nakama, they are crew, then we are out to fight for them and to protect them and to look after them. So, how about you? Are you gaijin? Are you an outsider? Or are you nakama? Alien and stranger? Or a treasured person? So I asked you in the table talk questions that are out there and is somewhere on a video to be. The table talk question is, what is it, or when is the time that you felt most lonely? And that was a key to help you think about what it is to be lonely, to feel like an outsider. And we do well to realize how people feel when they are made to feel like an outsider, when they are feeling their loneliness. Because if we forget that, we're not going to relate to people in that place of need. So if you are feeling lonely, you are feeling unconnected. You'll feel that no one notices you. You'll feel that no one comes to help you. And I've put feel in there, but you feel that's reality. That's where you're at. You're unconnected, no one notices, no one comes to help you. No one stands with you to face the challenges that you have. No one values you. No one understands you. In fact, you can't see a happy future. And you don't feel that others can see a happy future for you either. You don't think that anybody else wants to share your future. That's what it means to feel lonely. If you are struggling with all of those feelings and you all feel unprotected in that situation, you're feeling vulnerable and isolated and lonely. And that's kind of the bit that I wanted to emphasize in these verses. Because we so often go straight through to the victory part that we forget the pain that people felt in the lonely part. Because what Paul is saying in these verses is, you were aliens and strangers. When sin had broken your relationship with God, you were feeling unconnected. You were feeling unnoticed. You were feeling that he wasn't helping you with that situation, that he wasn't standing with you, that you were just defeated in that, I can't do enough, I can't make it by myself. You felt unvalued, not understood, and you couldn't really see a future in that situation. You certainly didn't think of God wanting to share a future with you. So one of Simone's often used phrases is, you beautiful people. And when she uses that phrase, you would think it's not for you. But isn't it nice to have somebody around who always uses that phrase? Because it reminds us how God is looking at you each time. You beautiful people. And then she even in the worship mentioned today what it is to know that God treasures you. In Christ, we are not outsiders. He's met all of the needs that we felt in our loneliness so that we can be connected with God, so that we can feel that we are noticed. Because that's the Christmas story, isn't it? God noticed our need, and by his son being born as a baby, he took care of that need so that God incarnate could die for our sins. The problems of our sins, the isolation, the way that broke our relationship with God, could all be taken away. He noticed the need, and he didn't do what you might do when somebody's begging on the street or outside of a shop and just do your best to walk past and not notice. God noticed our need, and he looked at how he could meet that need for each one of us. And then he wants to build. And he wants to build with Christ as the cornerstone of our new relationships. He wants to see our relationships with each other restored. So that we can be an encouragement with each other. So that our salvation isn't just about our relationship with God restored. It's about our relationship with other people restored. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So whatever challenge you're facing, however lonely you feel in a situation, however much you're wishing that somebody would take notice of you and come alongside, the first thing we need to realize is that God has come alongside. And that could be the end. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Why would we need anybody else? Except that in God's great creation plan, we are made to be relational beings. We are made to care about each other. So he not only wants to see the relationship between us and him restored, he wants to see our relationships with each other restored. But that's not always an easy process. I may have read this quote to you before, but I find it very helpful. I often reread it because I have an interest in house building. Don't get to do it really, but we all dream, like the theme. What kind of house would you love to have as your perfect house? And I started thinking about that very early on, and sometimes you think of that quaint country cottage. But it's hard to get the Olympic-sized swimming pool inside the quaint country cottage. But then when we think of all the bigness and everything else that goes with that, maybe we go back to the country cottage. It's always a struggle. What's it going to be? So God has noticed you. He has a vision for your life. Jesus is the cornerstone of the new building that is being put together, where God is going to use us. Isn't that a nice cozy cottage, do you think? Let me read these words to you from C.S. Lewis. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you understand what he is doing. He's getting the drains right. He's stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. But presently he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts you abdominally and doesn't seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one that you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage. But he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. We get the privilege of moving from loneliness to being a palace that God is coming to live in. That's treasure. But it's not easy. And the starting point is lonely. We need to relate to people who are in that situation. We need to come alongside people who are in that situation, that they can feel the companionship of somebody standing there with them. And then pray for them, that they would know that God is standing there with them. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? Are you enjoying your new citizenship? You're an alien to the culture that's around us. You're an alien and a stranger to the world. And that's the way that Peter meant it in his verses. That's why sometimes you won't feel like you're with the in crowd, because you're different. But you're different because you are the citizen of a new country. You are a citizen of heaven with the rights that come with that, with Jesus as the cornerstone of the palace that he is living in. Amen.